Hello, I'm back again. Welcome to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And we're going to be continuing with the message that we left off with last time, taking every thought captive. Don't lose hope. But before we go there, I want to remind you that all of these messages, whether you like the audio, the written message, or the video, are available on my website for download, and they're free. So it's PastorVicsNuggets.com. Also, you can check out these videos on YouTube. It's also PastorVicks.com. I should say Pastor Vic, YouTube, / Pastor Vic Nuggets. And also want to tell you that you can also find us on Facebook, Pastor Vic's Nuggets as well. Okay? So as we're continuing from our last post, we entitled it Taking Every Thought Captive. And last time we said that with all that's going on in the world today, that we really have to resist falling into fear. Because when we fall into fear, it takes our focus off the Lord and of the hope that he provides. See, Hebrews 11:1, and I know you're familiar with this verse, but it states that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the things hoped for in this verse are the promises of God which are found in the Bible. The evidence of things not seen speaks of the spiritual nature of our battle against fear. Fear is a crippling emotion, and we must learn to recognize real threats from those that we imagine and magnify to the point that we become helpless and hopeless. See, there's an important difference between disappointment and discouragement. And the difference is in the word hope. Both disappointment and discouragement involve feeling down and low. A discouragement is a choice to stay in that pity hole or having that pity party. Now, the word disappointment literally means the feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectation. Discouragement means to lose confidence or enthusiasm because you have lost hope. You see, there is a very important difference. Discouragement and disappointment are two different things. When our expectations aren't met, we feel disappointed. But when discouragement comes, it's a feeling of despair and despondency. You see, it's a choice. We can choose to remain dejected or determined to work through our feelings and overcome them. Recovering from disappointment and discouragement is an important concept in the Word of God. And there's a great episode in which we find in David's life, which is found in 1 Samuel 30. Now, I'd encourage you to read the entire chapter because it is a motivational kind of message that God is speaking to us, to encourage us that even young David, before he became king, faced adversity. He faced challenges. He faced anxiety. He felt all the feelings and frustrations that you and I have as human beings. David also felt those. But David knew how to deal with it. And we can learn by looking at David's example. Now, David and his men, as we look at this period of time, it was before he became king. And if you're familiar with the history of King Saul and David, you'll know that King Saul was very much intimidated by David. David was popular among the people of Israel. King Saul had really defaulted in his leadership because he would not follow the Lord's God's commandments to the letter. But in any case, what we find is that King Saul now is chasing David and desiring to see him destroyed, to kill him. And so David had to flee, but yet David, he left with a great number of men who were following him because he was such a tremendous leader. And so David and his men were in the wilderness escaping from the wrath of King Saul. And while David and his men were returning to Ziklag, that was their home base, a place called Ziklag, and Ziklag was where their families were. But while they were away and on their way back to Ziklag, the Amalekites. Now, the Amalekites were a group of people tribal people whom King Saul was supposed to have wiped out, but he didn't. In any case, they came and they attacked Ziklag. They burned it to the ground. They took all the women and all the children captive, but amazingly, none of them were killed. So when David and his men arrived back to Ziklag and they saw what had been done, can you imagine what they must have thought, what they must have felt? How would you feel if you discovered that your family was gone and that everything you owned, everything you had, all of your possessions were burned to the ground and you didn't know what happened to your family? Wouldn't you just naturally think of the worst? Well, verse 4 says, in 1 Samuel 30, says that then David and the people who were with him, his men, they lifted up their voices and they wept and they wept and they wept until they had no more power to weep. You see, they were all disappointed. They were distressed, as you can imagine. But then David's men became discouraged because now they're beginning to talk about stoning David. Verse 6, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. I mean, what a tragic situation. But that's what discouragement can do. It can cause us to magnify fear to a point where you feel hopeless, without hope. And that's how they felt. They felt hopeless. But listen to what David did. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Did you catch that? He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's step one. When you experience disappointment, you strengthen yourself in the Lord. You speak to yourself. You take an active role instead of just allowing the situation to roll over you. You resist it and you say, no, I am a child of God. This is not going to happen to me. And this is what David did. David looked at the circumstances and it looked terrible. I mean, there was nothing left. But what he did after he cried, and listen, that's a natural emotion, is that he strengthened himself in the Lord. And that's what we do. That's what we have to do when we become disappointed or discouraged. We have to do the same thing. We have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And we strengthen ourselves by taking every thought captive. When those thoughts don't line up with what God has said about us, we have to discard them and not dwell on those kind of thoughts. Thoughts of fear, anxiety, defeat, hopelessness. See, these kinds of thoughts come from the enemy of our soul, Satan. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, then resist. That word resist means to push against. Push against the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I like the picture that someone once said to me, that when we resist him, what it means is that we are standing still, and as the enemy tries to push against us, we push back. Therefore, submit to God. Obey God first. And then when you obey God first, when you're filling yourself with God's word, when you're filling yourself with God's presence, then comes the power in the Holy Spirit to push against the devil. What does it say? He will flee from you. Ephesians 6:13. Now, I love this section of scripture, but I want to just take a look at this one section of scripture, and it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, submit to God first, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, you stand for what God says to you. You stand for who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ. You stand for the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. Now, the second thing that we have to do is that we have to do what David did. We have to go to the Lord and get direction from him. You see, God knows the plans he has for you to prosper you and bless you. And those are the thoughts that we have to embrace, even when our emotions cause us to despair. Taking our thoughts captive will help us take control of our emotions. In verse 8, it says that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And God answered, and he said, "Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and without fail," listen to this, "recover all." You see, David got a word from the Lord. And then David took that word and he encouraged the men. And they gathered together, all 600 of them, and they began to pursue the Amalekites. And again, it's a long story, so I'd encourage you to read 1 Samuel chapter 30. But David encouraged his men, and they pursued the Amalekites. They found the Amalekites, and they destroyed the Amalekites. And they recovered their wives and children without any harm to them. I mean, it's amazing. What an amazing testimony. And as a bonus for their faithfulness to believe what God had said, they plundered the Amalekites of all of their treasure. You see, that's what God wants to do in your life. God wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to not fall into fear or worry or anxiety. And the only way you can do that is to take control of the thoughts that you allow into your mind. I'm sure you've heard this, the expression many times, that the battlefield is in the mind. And so again, I encourage you to read all of 1 Samuel 30 for deeper insights that the Lord may give you. And keep in mind, discouragement, or I say disappointment, is universal. I said this last time. Everybody finds disappointment or is disappointed at one time or another. It's not something that's unique to you. Disappointment is recurring. That simply means you may overcome disappointment one week, but sometimes you have to face it again next week or the next month or next year. Disappointment is contagious. Watch out for those who want to pull you down by indulging in negativity and self-pity. We don't want discouragement. I should say, we don't want disappointment to turn into discouragement. Remember, we said that disappointment is when a hope has been, you didn't obtain the hope. What you were expecting didn't happen. But discouragement means that you've lost hope. Realize that disappointment and discouragement, both, they're unpredictable. You never know when it's going to strike you or a loved one. But know this, that in Christ, disappointment and discouragement is temporary. It will pass if you respond correctly. Don't allow disappointment to control you. Don't allow unfulfilled hope or expectations to turn into discouragement, which is loss of hope. Hope is so critical to us as believers in Jesus Christ, because every promise that we find in the Bible, and there are literally thousands of promises in the Bible, we obtain by faith. But before you can have faith, you have to have the God hope, the God kind of hope that allows you to release your faith and trust in something that God has said. Take control of the kind of thoughts you choose to focus on. Focus on Jesus. He's the lover of your soul. And meditate on the following verse. And I said this is the same verse from last week. It's Psalms 31:24. "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Now, in closing, I want you to remember that the battle begins in the spiritual realm. The victory in the spirit will manifest or produce a victory in the physical realm. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We may not see it. We may not always be aware of it, but I can assure you that the enemy of your soul is desiring to cause you to take your focus off of Jesus and to cause fear, worry, and anxiety to replace what really your focus, which really belongs upon Jesus himself. He wants you to take your eye off the prize. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." Examine your life. Examine your thought pattern. Determine those strongholds of your mind that don't belong there, and then begin to tear them down. You tear them down simply by replacing them with Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, the fact that you are born again, that heaven is yours, and that you will have the victory. And then learning to activate your faith, speaking to your situation, so to speak. I love what it says in Mark 11, beginning in verse 22. "So Jesus answered and he said to his disciples, 'Have faith in God.'" Now I want to remind you what this is all about. This is about the fig tree that Jesus had cursed because it had no fruit on it. And then the next day when they walked by, they saw that the fig tree had shriveled up and they were amazed. And so Jesus is just telling them, have faith in God. "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," "be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." See how important it is to confess what you're believing for, to confess that love in your life, to confess that fear be gone from your life, to confess that boldness will take over your life, to confess that you are in good health, to confess that your marriage will be restored or strengthened, to confess your protection over your children, to confess your protection over those that you love. You see, what you say comes out of your heart. And when it comes out of your heart, then there's a sincerity there. And as Jesus said, when you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.